everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with
Madeline Deering.
Yes.
Director of Spirit Animal. Nice to see you again.
Spirit Animal, man. We're definitely gonna dive into that soon. But before then, I just realized that you were a co-writer of Breeding Farm, which I have not seen, but you know, I've heard of. So you're not proud of that movie or anything?
Not super proud. There was some stuff. I mean, that's out of print. It's hard to find. You can still find copies once in a while. Someone on like Grindhouse Video a while back, but it's not easy to find. There were some legal issues and stuff.
Oh, that sucks.
But not my best work, but you know, I learned a lot from the experience, and it was a fun time.
Did you co-write it or did you write it yourself?
Oh, I co-wrote it. The main writer came up with the idea, and I wrote a script based off of his idea, or based off his original script. So I would say co-writer, but I kind of wrote the main script, and then some other stuff was added. And I was also an assistant director, and I acted in it and co-produced it, so I had a lot to do with it.
It's funny because we had a assistant director on our shoot that ended up being also the line producer and then a producer. Yeah. And then, you know, so like a lot of times in the indie world, you kind of
wear different hats.
You wear a lot of different hats. Why did that happen? All right.
Yeah. I don't know why it happened.
But anyway, yeah, that's crazy that I'm like, that's the thing.
Yeah. That was the first film I like really co-wrote and like that got produced and everything, so it's a huge deal. Trauma distributed it for a short while before it got pulled and just kind of shelved.
Do they still own the rights to it?
I believe the director owns the rights to it.
Okay. Well, just wondering. I don't know much about it or anything. Yeah, but I've heard
not many people
name.
Do
I don't know how I heard the name, but I've heard of it.
Probably so, on IMDb, or maybe someone talked. It comes up once in a while, but I feel like it should be one of those movies people really try to track down just because it's so rare and hard to find, but no one really talks about it. But
well, it's funny because, like, yeah, you're right. Out-of-print movies, OOP movies, are always, like, no matter what they are, it could be, like, the worst piece of crap movie and it deserves to be OOP, but like people want it because of the value. Like I showed off my DVD collection once, right?
Yeah.
Like not all of it obviously, but you know, a bunch of my, I think it was more of my indie movies and stuff, and this guy was like, you've got, and there was this movie called Loop, and I got a copy of it because I interviewed the director, which was Pericles Loons, who did
Redneck Zombies.
And I interviewed him, so he sent me a copy of Loop, and you know, I got to watch it and interviewed him, right? And so I forgot his name, I don't remember who said it, but somebody was like freaking out about it. It was like, oh my god, you got a copy of that movie. Like he was like willing to buy it from me and stuff because it's out of print and very hard to find. Yeah. and everything. And I mean, I was almost tempted because I don't really watch it or whatever, but then I was like thinking, like if I do this, I'm probably never going to see it again, you know, or whatever.
Exactly.
Not
I totally
have it in my
that.
Collection. So it's one of those tough like decisions, like do I keep it, do I, you know, give it away, or do I sell it? Would never give it away if it's that like sort of that valuable, but
yeah, sell it for something even if it's not.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe if I get, you know, start getting homeless or something, I'll be like, hey, did you want this movie?
You got some gold there.
I know, maybe.
I've heard of Loop, I think. I mean, I'm a huge Redneck Zombies fan. Yeah. Obviously, I'm a fan of SOV. Redneck Zombies is awesome, so. I've heard of Loop here and there.
And Redneck Zombies is like one of those trauma movies that just doesn't feel like a trauma movie. Like, it feels, I hate to say it, but it feels better than that.
Oh, yeah. I always thought the running time was a little long, but I adore Redneck Zombies overall. Yeah. It's so much fun. deodorant kills zombies, what else do you need to know? Like, if anyone's watching this and hasn't seen it, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Hilarious. The character that wears different shirts in like every shot. It, hilarious. Everything about it. So good.
Is that, do you think that's where they got the, where they got the idea from, have you seen the movie?
Lamageddon.
Yeah. Lamageddon. Do you think that's where they got it? It
seems, I don't know. You it obviously seems like a gag anyone could come up with, but either way, like Lamageddon, I was watching that with my mom and she thought it was hilarious. His shirt just kept changing between shots. I love Lamageddon. I thought it was one of the best of 2020.
Really? Yeah.
So funny. I mean, it's a blast.
It's so goofy. We, you know, I guess, I don't know if anybody, this will be out sometime in May. So, and then I think June or July is when it comes out. We're definitely going to be doing a review of that, you know,
yeah.
That's already going to come out. It's just, you know, further down, I can't say what it's for yet, but we did a review of it already and all that stuff. So it's going to be a little bit before, I think it's like July, like late July that it comes out. But, you know, that's the thing with this is doing these shows, like, you know, like way ahead of time.
Oh, I don't know how you keep track. I couldn't.
Well, a lot of times I just get them done and then put them up already and kind of figure out where they're going to go at what time.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Like, cause I've got we've done a bunch of reviews together. So,
yes, we have.
Already. And I think I'm going to have you in more. So, you know, just get ready.
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
I know we want you on Indie Film Cafe at some point, closer probably to summer, you know, to do a Shitty Shark movie.
Always down for that.
And
as
that,
you know,
that'll be what we'll talk about in a little bit, but I want to get right into Spirit Animal.
Yes.
You know, obviously that's like what you're most known for and everything. And that's the newest project and everything. It's out now. People can buy it now, right?
Yes. Okay. From my Facebook page. I don't have a web store. I'm hopeful distribution in the future, but you know, can't say anything more than that, but, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this. When I first started watching, because I just knew the name, you know, I didn't know what it was about. I didn't do any research beforehand because
that's the best way to watch anything, in my opinion.
Right? Because then sometimes you get spoiled and, you know, spoiled, and you're like, oh man, I don't, you know, man, this kind of ruined everything. So, by the way, the spoiler warning. So if you haven't seen Spirit Animal, I suggest watching it before watching this interview, because we're about to talk. I can't discuss this movie with you without spoiling, you know,
stuff.
So first of all, the movie starts off with a bunch of kids at camp and the guy talking about the you know, at a bonfire, talking about spirit animals, bonfire, campfire. And one of the kids actually says, like, all of the animals are spirit animals. But later you see the killer, you know, was the killer the kid? I mean, it was, but like, how did that happen? Like, I understand. See, I understand when it's Jason, you know. Like, cause I get that. See, I get that. Like, I get that. I don't know if that's what you're going with like how Jason was a kid and then he drowned in the lake. And then years later, he's an adult after he's drowned in the lake. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's 20 years later, but
exactly.
If you're talking about that first scene where, the kid with the buffalo mask kills the counselor. Well, I had to put the buffalo mask on cause the kid was like afraid of wearing a mask. Great kid. He did a good job, but he didn't want to wear a mask. And I guess that was kind of just something that slipped our minds before we started shooting. So it's pretty obvious it's an adult, but
it's an adult.
Yeah.
That's like, cause I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I thought the whole time it was an adult. Like what I thought originally that you were going with was that like the spirit of the spirit animal was the killer, right? But then you start talking about the kid and I'm like, wait a minute. And so, like, throughout the whole movie, when it becomes like 20 years later or whatever, it makes sense. Yeah, it's fine. 20 years but later. Like, yeah, but like when it's there, I'm just like, this is a little weird. Like, there's a like a kid that's murdering them, but he's like, I don't know, he grew. You know, and so yeah, it was you who was wearing it, the buffalo mask and everything.
Yeah, it was me.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, it worked. I absolutely adored the movie itself. I mean,
oh, thank
even
you.
Even with that, like, because I think that kind of adds to the camp a little bit.
I hope you so. Know,
because if people are like, oh no, I don't like this movie, the person all of a sudden the kid's is a giant, you know, and the first, you know, yeah. You shouldn't have been, because I mean, it could have also been like, you could have dissolved to like 20 years later, camp counselor is, you know, whatever, you know, but it was literally supposed, the kid disappears and is never seen again, where, I mean, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, but it
and
was
like living in the woods, raised by animals, whatever. The kid was, what, Michael Puskar, if I pronounced that right. He was a good kid. I mean, he did a great job and everything. Just didn't want to wear the mask, so we had to improvise.
Yeah.
And there's actually I don't know if you watched the outtakes, but I wanted to keep this in here, but there was a scene where I had the mask on and I like, they had a Christmas tree lying around. Tom Gross, we filmed at his house, if you're familiar with Gross.
I know, yeah, I know Tom.
Yeah, Tom and Tim are awesome. Tim was in the opening scene. They're both amazing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Like, they had this, like, Christmas tree type thing lying around, and I, like, pulled it out of the ground and threw it aside. I thought it'd be hilarious if the kid did it, but it didn't really work in the movie.
Oh, my God. I never knew that Tim and Tom are brothers.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
You did not even know
Tim
that.
Tom Gross. Yeah.
I did not know that. That's crazy. You learn a new thing every day, but like, yeah. I mean, I just thought they had the same last name. A lot of times people do, you know, like I know a Brandy Gross. So I'm like, you know,
well, maybe that's their long lost sister.
Or, yeah, well, she, you know, she wanted to be an actress at one point. So I wouldn't be surprised.
There we go.
You know, I'm still friends with her. I'll ask her. You know, Tim and Tom. Oh, yeah, they're my cousins. Mm. I mean, like, are they all Grosses like related? Maybe, I don't know. God, I hope Tim and Tom watch this.
I hope so.
But yeah, no, that's awesome, because I adored about this movie the most was that it had that 90s fun, because I know that's like basically it's and that's the other thing too, is most people try to go into 80s everything,
yeah,
right? And so everything's 80s. Oh, this is a throwback to 80s, and I think we're getting to that point now where it'd be good to go back to the 90s and start, because people are doing a lot of nostalgia and
yeah, which makes me feel old, but you know,
it makes me feel old too. I'm probably about your age anyway, so you know, but yeah, I mean, when 90s songs are on the classics channel, you know, that's, you know, on the radio stations, you're a little,
yeah,
a little worried about it. But yeah, no, it was wonderful because of the 90s stuff, because 90s were a different time period. And this was,
of course,
feels like a shot on video 90s movie.
That's what I was going for. And the DVD comes with like a Dingo pizza menu, and it has a coupon that expires like 12/31/94. So I was going for the 90s. Like the Dingo pizza commercial in the beginning was kind of like, made me think of like Home Alone, where they had like I think it was a Pepsi commercial at the beginning, because obviously that movie was sponsored by Pepsi,
right?
And part two had a American Airlines, obviously, even though American Airlines, I don't know why they would sponsor it. I mean, they're the idiots who let Kevin go on a plane and go to New York, but you know, they still sponsored it and they have an American Airlines commercial. Well,
I mean,
so I thought it would be funny if Dingo Pizza was, you know, a sponsor and they had their commercial right at the beginning. So that was like kind of that was a 90s thing.
It's so funny because if you think about it, and then, you know, this goes off topic a little bit, but you did mention Home Alone 2.
Of course.
And in that scene where he's like, oh, my dad's over there. you know, that's my dad. Like, who the freak does not check your, like, you know, still, hey, buddy, you know, I know we're approaching liftoff, but let me double check. No, this is, you're supposed to be going to France or whatever. You're, you know, we need to get you on the right plane. Like, that was one of the, I mean, who wrote that? Chris Columbus? Did he write
that? John Hughes, right?
John Hughes wrote it. Okay.
Chris Columbus directed it. Yeah.
So he must have just been like, John Hughes must have been just lazy. Like, you know, how do we explain this? Well, you know, like, let's just have him do that. Like, it could have been cool, like, some other way. Like, there's a million other ways they could have done that. But then they were trying to go back to the well of, like, you know, let's get him lost on the plane. You know, or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, I love Home Alone too. I actually prefer it over the first, which is probably rare, but
probably because of Tim Curry and, you know, Rob Schneider. Yeah,
Tim Curry is awesome.
You know, Schneider, of course. All those people
got a great cast.
Oh yeah, but if you look at it, it is ridiculously like flawed.
Oh, it's ridiculous. The whole point of the movie is not to wear the same jacket as someone else. I mean,
all right, last thing about Home Alone 2. How the hell do the burglars go to the same place? Like, that's just...
Oh, what a coincidence, right?
Jeez, right. You know, they could have had two different burglars that he has.
But that wouldn't have been the same. You need Marv and Harry.
I know, and they have to become the Sticky Bandits, which sounds like a ridiculous porn title. But the Sticky Bandits. But yeah, starring Ron Jeremy. All right, anyway.
Like, you wouldn't watch that. Like, any of us wouldn't watch
that. I would watch that.
I would too.
Especially if it were Home Alone, like, you know, like Home Alone and then Home Alone porn, except not with children, with adults, you know. But
oh yeah, yeah, I mean, okay. I think we've reached the end of this conversation.
Yeah, this is going a little bit bad, off the rails. All right, now let's go back to Spirit Animal, and now we bring you back to your
regularly scheduled program.
Exactly. The thing I asked you before the show too, is that did you get to keep the masks, or did you you keep the masks? I mean, they're obviously yours, right? You bought them yourself and everything for the production. Can we see them? That's the big thing.
Yeah. Some of them I have the, this is a, the shark mask, which is me wearing the shark mask. It's like a mask-a-mole. This was the first mask I got. My mom got this at like Walmart for like a couple bucks, because I think it was after Halloween. And
nice. How many masks did you use? Like, it felt like close to like 7, but how many did
God, I'd have to really think about it.
Yeah, you used a lot. I mean, and each one was like set up differently, though. I was disappointed that the dog was used on two different people, you and the other girl, and the other girl that were in the scene, the arf arf dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, I was kind of disappointed. I thought there was going to be another mask to just pull out another mask.
Oh yeah, no. But I love both those dog scenes. So
I do too. It was a lot of fun.
Scene is
it was silly, and especially they make you. Oh, okay. Once again, there are spoilers ahead. Yeah. So, you know, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, don't listen. But yeah, you beg for your which I you know, I thought he was gonna change, like, because he was like beg, and I thought you were gonna like beg for a treat or something, you know, or whatever, and then you're begging for your life, and I thought that was kind of a cool, like, you know, twist on it.
The funny thing is, like, that wasn't in the original script. I had Jennifer Louise, she plays Lisa. She came over to like read the lines with me, because I didn't know my lines. I wrote the script, but And I think we just kind of came up with that on the fly. That was kind of her idea to like have, you know, sit, bag, all that stuff. So we added that kind of like last minute. And it worked so well. I'm glad it wasn't just me getting the stick shoved up my ass. It was like a little more suspense and build up. So that worked out really well. And I have a good thing for that.
Yeah. So the stick in the ass and all that stuff was reminded me so much of like, I don't know if you're a fan of like Chris Seaver and his kind of stuff, his kind of humor, but it kind of reminded me of that, you know, like kind of silly.
It was more supposed to be Todd Sheets and, which I do like Chris Seaver, by the way, but Todd Sheets and, I mean, I wanted a Cannibal Holocaust reference, like the stick going up and out the mouth. But that's not really the way it turned out, but that's okay. But that's still, to me, my Cannibal Holocaust reference.
I've never seen that movie. I will not watch it.
That's okay.
Because I've heard that they killed a real life animal in the making.
They did, yeah.
And I won't watch it. Like okay. It's my personal thing. Like I've heard so many people talk about it, and I mean, and there have been times I was like, oh man, maybe I should watch it because everybody talks about it.
But there is an animal cruelty free version, but you'll still know, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just
the movie in general, so I understand.
Yeah, no, I can't. And that's why I'm really glad at the end of your movie is that no animals were harmed in the making of your movie. And of course there was a big animal that was harmed and I was like, oh, you know, like that, it was sad, you know, because I like that. I liked him, but geez. Yeah. Everything I say is have to be a spoiler. Cause you know,
that's okay. We can talk about the dog later.
Yeah.
Animal.
Oh, it's so sad. But it's nice. It was like the whole movie was just sort of a lot of fun. There was just so much that happened in the movie. That like, I mean, you just did a one filmmaker, one film with podcast with John Ward.
I did, yeah.
About this movie. And I did not listen to it yet because I wanted.
How dare you? You know what? Get off of here. And...
Well, I wanted to watch the movie first before.
Of course. There were some spoilers in there.
I would hope so. It's talking all about the movie after, like, if you. Didn't actually, if you were talking about the movie and you weren't doing spoilers, then
it'd be hard to do.
It'd be hard. Yeah. We can't even do it here, you know?
Exactly.
So hopefully the people that are watching this are fans of your work and have already seen it.
And here's, this is the dingo. He's missing his hat.
The dingo.
The dingo ate your pizza.
Is that how you got the name for Dingo Pizza?
So actually, what's really funny is when I was in film school, I wrote this movie called Alan, or it was a short film. That's my dream project. I want to turn it into a feature. You may have heard me talk about it before. I'm sure other people have. But the main character, Alan, in that movie works for a place called Dingo Pizza, the Dingo Ate Your Pizza, which was a reference to Seinfeld, you know, the Dingo Ate Your Baby, you know, which is a terrible impression, but you know. So that's kind of how I came up with the idea for Dingo Pizza, but it's kind of like shown up in all my films and probably will. And honestly, I didn't expect Dingo Pizza to take off as much as it has, but people really seem to enjoy it. So
sweet. But I love that. That's
where it came from. Yeah.
So the Dingo Ate Your Baby, everything. Was originally in something else, then now it's part of your, like, you know, part of your whole universe, I guess, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's all connected to the dingo, you know,
pretty much, which is weird, but that's super cool.
That is kind of cool. Like, if you have another, there's gonna be other pizzas, you know. I like that. I think that's a really cool kind of thing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I mean, cause I love connected stuff. You know, I grew up, I grew up watching Few Skew, you know, Kevin Smith movies and everything. Yep. So I grew up watching, what is it? I grew up watching the movies like The Clerks and Chasing Amy, all of them connecting. Yep. And I was like, and then I would read the comics and I would, you know what I mean? I would do all these things and I'd be like, oh my God, they all like all work, you know? And so
I love connecting universes, and I always wanted to do that. But at the same time, I'd like to reuse some of the same actors, and like, well, you have to, like, I don't know, it's tough.
That's why in my movies, there's doppelgangers. Yeah. Every in my universe, everybody in the universe has doppelgangers, not just one, so that we can use them, you know, use them to play different roles and everything. And that's how we explain it. However, people could still be like, oh, that's bullshit, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's my universe. I can do whatever I want. But exactly. It's the only way I can explain that, because like somebody pointed out in Marvel. So I watched these like pitch videos or whatever, like parody pitch videos of like, I don't know if you've seen them or not on YouTube, but there's this guy talking to himself basically, but it's like he's pitching the movie to a Marvel, right, or whatever. And they always point out like that they mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine in Avengers Endgame. Oh, that's great, because wasn't Sebastian Stan in that movie? And so like, you know what I mean? Like, that movie in that universe if the actor from that movie plays the Winter Soldier and stuff? So it's like stuff like, you know, Big Lebowski. They mentioned the Big Lebowski. They call him, they pair, you know, they poke fun of a Fat Thor that way and stuff. So it makes sense that these actors would act in other things, but how is that, you know, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
They can't play more than one role, right? They can't kind of cross into, like, you know, you don't see Captain America or Chris Evans coming back and playing, you know, somebody else, because it wouldn't work, right? People might be confused. So that's why we had to create the doppelgangers thing, and it works. Yeah. So if you want to steal that too, go right ahead.
Well, my main idea was to keep it connected. Part of it is, you know, Keith Monahan, he plays Timmy. Timmy's a fan favorite, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fuck like, you, well, Timmy. He's going to be like, yeah, fuck the environment.
Fuck you,
he's
Timmy.
He's going to be like Kenny, and he's just going to come back in every film I do, and he's just going to be alive and die. He's just going to come back, like, playing the same character. That was my main idea, like, just for him, like other people can come back and play different characters. I don't care about.
But you want him to play the same character just because, you know, why not, right?
Timmy's a great character. It's funny. Just, even if just for a moment, you know.
They killed Timmy. You bastards. but no, I love that. You know, I can see a lot of your sense of humor is like in line with like, you know, cartoons and stuff too, right? Like, did you grow up watching like South Park and, you know,
oh yeah, I'm a huge South Park fan.
South Park and what is it, Family Guy, and
I never got into Family Guy,
really.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Oh wow. Simpsons,
Family Guy, and Family Guy, I'm sorry, South Park and Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I love Aqua Teen.
I think I met the guy who does the voice of Master Shake.
Oh, is that Dave Willis?
No. I'm now feeling really.
That's a huge awkward.
Dana Snyder.
Yeah, Dana Snyder. Oh my god, I knew and that.
It was funny. I interviewed him, and he was so nice, but like we had to do it when he wasn't busy, you know, like there wasn't a huge line line at the particular time, thank god. And so we were doing this interview, and at first he was kind of joking on me, you know, just like how I'd imagine he would, and I was kind of letting him, you know, like whatever, you know, like I didn't take anything personally or get mad, you know, or whatever. I just let him, and then I think he realized, oh crap, this guy is, you know, like he's letting me do this, all right, you know. So because he's like started like, you know, let me interview you, you know.
I bet he seems hilarious.
He's a really nice guy.
That's
the thing, you really get to meet a lot of really cool people when you go to like these conventions and and everything. Who's the biggest celebrity you got to meet?
I mean, I briefly met Tara Reid and had her sign my Sharknado.
Aww. See, Blu-ray. Okay.
So I'm a huge Sharknado fan.
Are you? Okay, because I know you're, yeah. I mean, you're into sharks and especially shitty shark movies, but a lot of people call like Sharknado like the king of that, but like, is it really, you know, like, I don't know because like, it's sort of like they knew what they were doing in a way. They didn't know how big it was going to blow up.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I love Asylum movies, as you know. Mm-hmm. I know you've been in a few. And
I've only been in one, but.
Oh, I thought you were in more. Either way.
I wish, but no, just one.
Sharknado was a huge inspiration to me. And it's just like they came up with that ridiculous idea and like they kept it going for 6 movies. And it's very inspirational to me. You don't see that with like independent made for TV movies too often.
Well, I mean, and I think that's a little bit of why independent films get away with a lot more stuff because they have that I don't give a fuck kind of attitude. Like, you know, there's nobody in, you know, there's nobody telling you not to do something.
Exactly. You know?
Even the guys who do Asylum, they really don't, you know.
I mean, they just made what? Ape versus, or what is it?
Ape versus Monster.
Yeah.
That's literally the title. Which I'm actually tonight I'm gonna watch Kong versus Godzilla because it's the end of the it's about to like be done on HBO Max. I still haven't seen it.
It's awesome.
I mean, I
thought it was awesome, but
I imagine because Adam Wingard I think is like
a great director, and I kinda wish he would go back to doing movies like, you know, The Guest, but
The Guest was amazing.
Oh my god.
Your Next was pretty good. I like that.
Still off topic. Yeah, Your Next was awesome, but I don't know. Him doing these big franchises, I kind of just wish he'd go back to doing like that type of stuff. But kind of like I wish Peter Jackson would do Bad Taste and
DeLuxe. Oh no. That's never gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen, but I wish it would happen because Bad Taste and DeLuxe are fucking masterpieces.
The best you'll get right now is that he'll release all those on like 4K or something, you know?
Yeah,
or,
what's they're supposed to do.
Yeah, so like that's the best you're gonna get because unfortunately he's kind of like that's the thing with Adam Wingard. He's moved on. You know, you don't move backwards, you know, unless you're Scott Derrickson who left Doctor Strange and now he's doing another Blumhouse movie, so you know I kind of feel bad, but then again like he's getting to do what he wants to do, you know what I mean?
That's what matters, people doing what they want to do,
so hopefully it's good. It's just I was just really bummed because I was seeing Scott Derrickson moving up and doing something,
yeah,
you know, with Doctor Strange. I mean, have you seen Doctor Strange?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, it's a freaking amazing. And now Sam Raimi is doing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and I'm excited too, you know, like I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome. I hope if they do another Doctor Strange movie, it's another big, you know, horror director that I love, like John Carpenter. Can you imagine him working for Marvel?
I don't think John Carpenter is, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if he were paid.
If he got the right opportunity and the right paycheck, yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's fun.
He didn't go out on a great note with The Warren, but it wasn't terrible. But it wasn't good. It was just was.
That's true. The Warren, I've never even seen it, actually.
It had a very obvious twist ending and. It's not memorable because I don't really remember it that well, and I know I own it.
It's not memorable because you don't remember it?
Well, it's just wasn't memorable. It was like a paint-by-numbers type of movie, you know?
Right. And there's a lot of them out there, unfortunately, now, because people can just sort of get financing for whatever, you know? Like,
yeah.
Especially if you have a name like John Carpenter, you can be like...
Exactly.
And I think he's kind of been phoning it in for years, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Ghost of Mars, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, I think he's just sort of, you've been, whatever. But you know what?
He's allowed to.
He's made so many great movies that a lot many more people have, you know, I mean, we all strive to be that way one day, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I strive to just be the way where I could maybe make some type of big blockbuster and then make something I want to make with that type of money, kind of like David Lynch. Like when he made Dune, he was able to make Blue Velvet, which is one of his best films.
It's funny because you and I are completely different on like taste of things.
I know.
When you said somebody doing a big budget thing and then doing a smaller thing, I automatically thought of Richard Linklater, who did like
Days Confused. Oh, I love Richard Linklater though.
Who did like Days Confused? Then he did like Before Sunrise, and then he does then he does a big Hollywood movie like School Rock. Then he does, you know, any other indie film that he does, you know.
He's amazing. I mean, I was gonna say Soderbergh too.
Soderbergh is another one, but he does that too. But he's mainly been doing Hollywood stuff, like including that freaking one that that predicted the predicament we're in right now.
Oh yeah, that's the most terrifying movie ever made, and that was why I'm terrified. I was terrified of a pandemic over 10 years ago when I saw it.
Well, did you
biggest fear in my life?
Terrifying, but I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch it. I watched it during the pandemic, of course. You know. Yeah.
I mean, I watched it before and it was terrifying.
Yeah, it's just
I haven't been able to rewatch it, and I own it.
Well, sort of like, I mean, yeah, but it's sort of like exactly where we're at right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, the disease in the movie isn't it's more deadly than what we're dealing with, but still.
I mean, they introduce words to us that got, you know, is now part of our lexicon, like social distancing and stuff, which that was in that movie, and I didn't watch the movie before the pandemic, so I wasn't prepared, I guess, you know, for what could happen. You know,
watch it again sometime. But
it's a pretty damn good movie.
I thought it was a very good movie, but again, it was terrifying to me.
Well, it might be even more terrifying now because, like, you know, well, now that you're actually living through it, you know,
exactly. Like,
what are your top favorite movies?
Top favorite? Yeah. Like, Toxic Avenger is my favorite movie of all time.
Is that why you have the mask?
It's not. What? Why? Oh, yeah. The mask is in there. Now, that was like something my mom got from Walmart. It was like a toxic mask. It wasn't like Toxic Avenger. It was like a ripoff. But yeah, he wears that in the opening. And that's so funny when he comes in with the squirt gun. The shark squirt gun. We didn't mention there's a drinking game with the movie, if you played.
That's true. We didn't mention that earlier, but they do mention in the beginning of the movie that there's a drinking game. Like
every time you see a shark, you take a drink. And if you know me, I load my movies with sharks.
I know you do. You've created your whole Necro Shark, you know, company, you know, for that. So I think that's awesome. Do you think that's going to be your company forever? Like that's just going to be call all your movies is Necro Shark. Was it Necro Shark Productions or
Necro Shark Films or whatever?
Necro Shark Studios.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and you know, Killer Nerd is another favorite, and Toby Radloff's in the movie.
You have him cursed. Killer Nerd and you have Toby him cursed, Radloff, which I was very surprised.
What?
You have him cursed in the movie. He curses. I forgot what he says exactly, but I was like, you know, it's a weird thing to hear the Killer Nerd cursing because I don't remember him cursing in any of the Killer Nerd stuff. So
my favorite line from Toby was, "I've got some wood for you," because he's, you know, obviously a tree.
Which I was like, okay, this is so weird, you know, the movie already, because like already there's a killer person walking around with a, you know, killing people because of spirit animal stuff, and then there's a talking tree, and then there's, you know what I mean, like it's just all over the place in a way, but in a good way. Like it's not like, you know, it's not one of those movies where you're like, okay, I don't feel comfortable because this is just so, you know, like so weird, like they didn't know what they were doing or something. Like, you know, yeah, what you're doing. It's kind of like Lamageddon. And I can see why you like Lamageddon, because
it's, oh yeah,
sort of like that, where it they sort of know where they're, you know, with everything, what they're doing.
It's like off the wall type of humor. This gets more and more ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. I really think Spirit Animal should be like reviewed by the Bloodbath and Beyond guys. I bet they would love this movie.
Try to send it to them.
I think you could, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I think they take submissions, you know?
Yeah.
I tried submitting my movie, Scary Stories Slumber Party, and they replied that they don't do anthologies. And I get it.
How do they not do anthologies?
They can't. Like, I get it. I get it as a reviewer. It's hard because then you have to look at every single short, and then you have to, like, basically you have to rate those, you know what I mean? So like, it's yeah, tough as a thing. So if you noticed on their show, they don't do, you know, anthologies. I mean,
I
noticed after they told me that, and I was like, oh wait, they don't. Okay. Well, if they had told me that, and then I saw that they were doing anthologies, I'd be like, you liars. You know, like, you just didn't want to review my movie, you know? Maybe they didn't. I don't know, but they that's what they told me. But Spirit Animal would be something I think that they would get a kick out of.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those movies where it's just so off the wall that you know, people would enjoy it. So you right now are self-distributing. Are you planning at any time to have it be distributed by someone?
Yeah, hoping. So
you got a couple like people in mind or something?
Yeah, I can't really say
anything. Okay, I know. I'm not saying, I'm not telling you that.
I know, but yeah, no, I hoping, get it. Because I definitely want to get on streaming and really get it out there. And mailing all your copies and stuff yourself is exhausting, especially I work two jobs. It's just, it can be too much a lot of times.
Yeah, so. I don't envy anybody who does. I used to have to do that. I used to have to mail out all my copies of stuff, and it just got annoying because, you know, I'd have to wait till I got a bunch of them together, so that way I didn't have to go every day, you know?
Exactly.
So some people would be mad because they get it like a week, you know, whatever, and I'd be like, well, I've got, you know, 3-5 people, you know, asking me, so I'm just making sure, you know, I've got
luckily, all the copies. People are very understanding that I have a lot going on and I got things out when I could.
So it'd be great to have distribution, you know, that's.
Yeah, definitely.
What we all hope for our stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And streaming seems to be like it's hard, you know, to like say stuff. Streaming is, and I posted about this recently, streaming doesn't pay you enough, you know, these days. And so that's fine if you just want your content out there, you know, want to get views and everything. Streaming is great. But if you really want money from, you know, you want to make a business out of this, you need to just sell copies or something, you know, or whatever.
Definitely. Because that's one reason why I was kind of against putting on Amazon Prime. I mean, I'm sure I could have done that easy, but I was like, well, I'd rather try to get on Tubi or whatever. I heard Tubi pays, you know, at least they pay okay. I don't expect to make a ton of money, but also I don't want to get fucked.
Right.
Excuse my language, but you know.
It's a rated R show. You're all right.
Okay. I mean, the movie's rated. Unrated.
Unrated.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I can't afford a rating. The fuck?
Here's a funny thing. So, when I was a kid, when I was like 13, I went to the video store with my friend and we rented two movies. One movie was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, you know, and the other one was
Secret of the Ooze or whatever.
Yeah. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
But there was like the Ooze guy and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that shit in the theater, so I know.
And then the other one was a little movie called Kids.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
So I'm 13 years old, walking up to the video store clerk with both movies. Now, we did both movies because we didn't want, because we knew that, we knew what kids was, you know, and we knew we were going to get in trouble if, like, my friend's mom saw us watching it. So yeah, we had the plan that we were going to take it out and you know, put the other one in there as quickly as possible when she got home. That way it looked like we were watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers when really we were watching something we weren't really allowed to be watching. So we get up to the clerk and he looks at it and says, not like unrated or whatever, or not. I think it was, yeah, it was like unrated. And at that time he had no idea what unrated meant, you know, that like,
it yeah, was yeah,
so bad that it, they couldn't, they didn't go on the rating because it would have gotten X rating basically.
Yeah.
So, or NC-17. So they just went unrated. So he looked at it and he goes, unrated. And he didn't know like how old you had to be to get an unrated movie. It's like, yeah, I'll let him go. Let him watch it.
That's amazing. Kids is not a movie for a 13-year-old. Oh man.
Not for kids, man. It was not. Neither is the movie 13.
No, 13's another one.
I know.
They're both good movies, but
great movies and about kids, about like real shit that goes on in exactly. kids' lives.
It's like should be something every parent watches, but maybe not every kid.
Yeah, you should wait a couple more years. All I always remember from that movie, like everybody remembers like a lot of like some of the sexual stuff or whatever. I remember that they beat the living crap out of a kid with their skateboards and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking badass. Like when I was a kid, I loved that shit. You know, like that was the scene I loved. I didn't, cause I was 13. I didn't understand. Like, I mean, I was a sheltered kid. You have to understand this. Any of the drugs or sex or anything like that shit.
Was I want him right there,
right over my head. But like them beating the shit out of a kid, and like all the white kids beating the shit out of a black kid, that shit was like not something you could ever see in anything. Like,
no,
definitely not even something that today would be allowed. And for good reason, absolutely. But I just thought it was like, holy crap, this is like, this was why I watched it, you know, and shit. And then later on, I got to see it again years later, and I own it, you know, on DVD.
I have it on VHS, actually.
I don't know if I have it on VHS. I don't think so.
Because I think the DVD is out of print, is it not?
I don't know, but I have it, so.
Well, you could probably sell it to someone along with your loop copy.
I know, apparently so. To go back to the loop. Hey, we looped around. Sorry, yeah. I love the fact that in Spirit Animal there were a lot of puns, you know.
Oh my god, I wanted all the puns. So one of my biggest inspirations for Spirit Animal is Nail Gun Massacre, if you've ever seen that.
No, I've heard of it though.
Oh my god, you first off watch Nail Gun Massacre. Second, like the one-liners and stuff the killer gives, even like the voice, like I wanted like some reverb on the killer's voice. I was like, I wanted to mimic Nail Gun Massacre, not like make it totally obvious, but like a reference. So like, yeah, Nail Gun Massacre was a huge inspiration. Cause like there's a scene in Nail Gun Massacre when he like puts the nail, you know, shoots the nail in the guy's head. And he's like, oh, don't you just hate those headaches, the ones between the eyes. I was like, I want stuff like that. So
well, I also thought maybe a little bit like I'm wearing the James Balsamo Bite School shirt. I don't know if you've ever
I haven't seen Bite School.
But do you know James Balsamo though, right?
I don't know because I can't think of the name. Maybe I do.
Oh my god, you gotta watch it. He's nothing but puns. Like that dude made a whole book full of puns, a pun book, you know. That's all he does, like, and he does this like, because I've known James for years, you know, and ever since I first met him at a horror convention, I think it was 2012 or something. I met him at a horror convention, and I think it was Horror Realm,
Horror Realm in Pittsburgh? No, yeah. That's a horror realm. Really? Yeah. You were in Pittsburgh?
This was 2012, I guess. Yeah, something like that.
This was when I first moved here.
For real? Yeah.
Yeah.
My first one was 2010. I went to Horror Find, which was in Gettysburg, for a while. Then Horror Find, I guess it didn't work out or whatever. Like it did for years or whatever, but it just kind of faded. And now it's Scares I Care, which is in
Williamsburg. Okay, I know about Scares I Care.
Yeah, I actually go there. I'm hoping to go this year because it's literally right up the street from my house. So I have no excuse. I can't be like, oh, it's going to cost so much money to drive, like literally could just go and see everybody if I wanted to, and I will. And they're the big thing now is like you have to wear the mask and everything. And so I'm like, it's just one of those things where it's going to be a little awkward at first, getting used to going to the conventions and I hate the mask necessarily because my glasses get fogged up or
so do I,
it's just uncomfortable or you can't barely breathe in it and stuff. And so it's not going to be fun, but it's understandable even with everybody getting the vaccines and everything. Even if everybody there is vaccinated, it's still better to wear masks and be, careful. And so the point is, Horror Realm, I met James, and James had he would just do puns just talking to me, Like that dude I don't even know, he never plans it, He just can do it off the top of his head, So he has like one character. He does this movie called Killer Waves. There's one character where he actually does nothing. His character does nothing but puns, or the killer does nothing but puns. It's just so ridiculous. It reminded me of your character. And I was like, oh, I love it. Because it reminds me of Freddy Krueger or.
Oh yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. You asked me my like favorite movie. Nightmare on Elm Street was what I grew up on. So
the first also, one or which one's your favorite?
The whole series.
Which one's your favorite?
The first one.
For real?
1, 3, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Wait, so all the Wes Craven ones first.
Yeah, all the Wes Craven ones. I'm a huge fan of Freddy's Dead. That was a favorite when I was growing up. Now I'm playing with power. Nice hearing from you, Carlos. Like, great kills. And then what? Probably 4, 2, and 5. Did I get them all?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And unless you count Jason versus Freddy. But
I love Freddy versus Jason. I saw that in a theater with my dad. That was one of the best theater experiences I've ever had. And I don't care what anyone says. That movie is awesome and everything anyone could ask for, except Kane Hodder wasn't in it, but still, badass movie. Still holds up.
Exactly. It's funny that I say Jason versus Freddy. You say it the way it's actually is, Freddy versus Jason. I always call it Jason versus Freddy because Jason's my man. If I had to choose.
See, I'm a big Freddy fan. I mean, yeah. I love Jason too, but I'm a big Freddy.
Nope. I was rooting for Jason, man. Jason was my homie, man. I grew up on his movies compared. I didn't like Nightmare on Elm Street because of all the gore. And I'm not that, I think gore is terrible or whatever, but, it just got to be, part 5 especially, had just this just ridiculous amount of gore that it just becomes this part where it's just, that's like the movie, it's not about the the character anymore. It's about how it's gross just about he can be.
Freddy and the kills and the gore.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just but it's funny you say part 1, 3, and 7 are your favorite, but 4 is definitely my favorite.
4 is great.
I mean, it's fantastic, but it's weird because I think what I like is the humor, just the same as I like the one movie from Friday the 13th that everybody hates. I bet you can guess which one that is.
What is it? Five?
Oh, well, no. I
people don't hate Five. Or you mean Jason Goes to Hell?
Nope. People do hate that one too.
Hmm. I love Jason Goes to Hell. That used to be my favorite, but four is. But what, you mean Jason X?
No, Jesus. Jason Takes Manhattan.
How many Jason movies do people hate? Jesus.
Jason Takes Manhattan. People hate that movie because...
Oh, yeah, people do. But I enjoy Jason Takes Manhattan. I mean, I enjoy all of them, honestly. But Jason Takes Manhattan is fun. And people get pissed because he isn't in Manhattan the whole time, but that's okay. Like, he's on the boat. It's fun. Like, who cares?
Somebody said it should be called Jason Takes a Cruise to Manhattan. And
maybe it should, but
maybe it should have, but like, you know, or it could have been called like Death Cruise, you know, because most of it took place on the cruise, you know. Yeah. It didn't matter, but I like that wasn't even the just because if he was all in Manhattan, I think I would have been bored, you know. Like, I think Rob, the director, did a fantastic job because I don't think, like, I think I would have been absolutely bored had he just been walking through Manhattan and there was just jokes the whole time. Because that's all it was when he was in Manhattan. It was like, and that's what I liked. That's the part I liked is
the radio.
The radio. Or
that music. I mean, that's classic. That's like, yeah.
I actually stole one of the scenes in one of my... it didn't work nearly as well, but I stole the scene where the boxer is punching him and everything.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, your turn. And he just goes, like, knocks his head off.
So great.
I stole that for like Sasquatch versus Yeti, my promo thing I did. And I had the girl running up and going, fighting him. And then he goes, all right, big boy, your turn. And he was like,
kind of reminds me of Killer Clowns too, when he says, what are you going to do? Knock my block off. You know, like that type of thing.
I didn't watch Killer Clowns until sort of recently.
Are you serious?
Here's the thing. I don't like clowns. Now, I don't like, I'm not scared of clowns. I just don't like them in horror movies. I'm not a fan of them because Pennywise doesn't scare me, you know, necessarily. The new it was pretty the first one, at least part one, was pretty freaking scary. The second one, it got kind of...
I didn't like the second one that much. I feel like they're trying to have
messages in that one or something. Like too much. There was too much of a political like thing, and I was like, wait a minute, this is like completely different than the one I just saw. But no, I like the first one. I thought it was actually genuinely scary, you know, in a way, but it wasn't the clown that necessarily scared me, you know?
Yeah.
Though there was an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode that did terrify me as a kid. The Laughing in the Dark that did terrify me as a kid with the clown.
I love that show. That was a show that made my love for horror grow.
Right? Definitely. Like, when you were a kid, were you one of those kids that watched horror TV shows?
Oh yeah, I love Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark. I always reference Ghostbusters 2. I still think the guy in the painting is fucking creepy. And I actually watched Ghostbusters 2 recently, and I always kind of preferred that over the first one for whatever reason. I don't know, I just loved it when I was a kid, but that guy in the painting creeped me out, I remember. And Large Marge from Pee-wee.
Yeah, it's funny. Ghostbusters 2 was, I think, the first movie I saw. The first movie I remember seeing in the theater as a kid.
That's amazing.
That's the only thing I can remember, because I remember that. But then I remember watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but that was like a year or two later or something. So
yeah.
I'm like, shit, that must have been the first one I remember, because I'm sure I went to movies with like my parents, you know, before then, because my dad loved taking me to movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's probably where I got my love for cinema, apparently, you know, like, period. But like Ghostbusters 2, I remember seeing that. And, like, I can remember clear as day, remember watching it in the theater.
Yeah.
Just because I loved the first Ghostbusters when I heard they were making a, and the real Ghostbusters. So,
yeah.
And they're making another one.
All thank right. God I'm waiting. It's done. I'm just waiting for November.
November?
It's coming out in November.
What? Wait, when was that? No, I thought it was coming out in June.
I wish.
Did they just switch it?
They switched it whenever. Tell me I'm wrong, please.
Oh my God, you're right.
I know I'm right. I'm like a huge Ghostbusters fan. Damn. But like, back to Ghostbusters too, like the slime and stuff under the city, reminiscent of the Blob, like that movie has a lot of creepy shit in it. I don't care. If you're a kid and you're watching that,
I know.
It's creepier than the first one with a big marshmallow man.
Okay, so the first movie scared the shit out of me so bad that I couldn't watch it for a while. My parents wouldn't let me watch it because they freaked me out. And it was the scene that scared me was the dog's arm coming up and grabbing Dana and like pulling her, because I would always watch it up in my living room and in one of the chairs, and I would always look at the door, the living room door, the front door, and I'd be like, oh God, there's like, you know, like all that. And so I remember like my parents were like, you can't watch this, you know, it's too scary for you. And then I'd watch the cartoon, and the cartoon scared me. And it was like there was like a poultrygeist episode is what it was called. It was like this, which is funny that later on Troma made Poultrygeist. Yeah,
I actually went to that New York City premiere of Poultrygeist. Must get off topic again. And that was the first time I met Lloyd. And that was like one of the greatest nights ever. With my dad again. My dad was very supportive of my love for horror. And I was in high school. I think like a senior, I must have been 17, 18. I wasn't 21. I couldn't go to the after party, but that was awesome. But back to your Ghostbusters.
Well, it's funny. Your dad like did that. My dad definitely, my dad does not like horror films, you know?
Yeah.
But he would support whatever. And he watched, I remember he was watching the first Friday the 13th with me, but he would allow me to watch it because it was on USA where all the good stuff was cut out or whatever. Back when they actually showed good shit, you know?
Exactly.
I don't even know what they show now, but it's I can't. I
have no idea. Probably Psych repeats.
Or NCIS 2000. I don't know. Whatever, you know? So anyway, to go back to that, so we watched Friday the 13th. I remember my dad was at he was watching, you know how it's, I mean, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the original Friday the 13th, you know, don't listen, you know, but the killer is Jason's mom, right?
Wait, what?
What? You know, that's the answer in Scream, you know. which apparently would still probably confuse some people, because people would automatically think Jason when they think Friday the 13th. So when you think, you know, who's the killer in Friday the 13th, it's Jason to everybody normally, but it's really the first one is. So you'd have to be like, which Friday the 13th are you talking about? The first one or every other one that has Jason in it? But
Part 5 doesn't have Jason in it.
Well, no, it has Jason in it. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people that will argue that, because I actually saw an article recently that said that maybe Jason possessed Roy, you know?
Oh, come on.
He was too Jason-like. I mean, it was not, because that was the lamest ending. And I never, for the longest time, did not know until the internet, until people pointed it out. I was always like, who the fuck is that, you know?
Because his mask looks completely fucking different than the last ones.
That's true. But I always just thought, but all their masks, like, have you ever seen how many masks there are in Friday the 13th? There are a million masks.
Just like how many Michael Myers masks there are. Anything. Camp Blood masks. We're not going to go down that road.
Well, that's funny, because I actually, when I was watching Spirit Animal, I saw a little Camp Blood in Spirit Animal in a way, like the spirit of Camp Blood. Me. You know, at least the original Camp Blood, not some of the other Camp Bloods.
I didn't see Camp Blood till one or two or any of them until after spirit animals completely done.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's funny. I can
kind of also like I didn't watch Splatter Farm, which is like one of my favorite SOV movies now, till like halfway through filming, and when I watched it, I was showed it to my special effects artist and literally everything, Joe Russo. He did he played Ralph, he did the cinematography, he did all the special effects. He edited it, he did everything. Him and I did everything. And I was like, I want the special effects to look like this, if you've seen Splatter Farm.
Because I have wanted not that. Yet. I need to watch it, but God. It's on my...
Lonnie Brothers fan.
So I have a show, another show, because I have a million of them right now.
Yes, you do.
People joke on me about that, but I don't care. One of the shows is called Horror Film Lovers. And it's more focused on like pretty good, you know, horror films. You know, we did
pretty
like,
good,
like good ones, like not
great, not terrible, just pretty good.
I mean, some are great. Like I'm sure you've seen The Stuff.
You know, oh yeah, just
got Larry Cohen Blu-ray. Movie, and I've got that on Blu-ray too. Do I
used to have the Stuff candle, but it's gone now. I mean,
aww.
I burnt it up. I mean, I still have it, but it can't burn it anymore anyway.
Well, I wanted to do The Stuff, you know, for Horror Film Lovers. So I did it back, like before I went to LA, I did that. And where it's funny, this show has been in its first season since 2019, I guess. So it's like, I just want to wrap it up for the first season. So
that, oh, I bet.
You know, because it's only on like episode 5, I think, or something, and I'm like, good god, we need to out of 10, we're gonna try to do 10. So I'm like, so we got one coming up in the next week, and I don't know what it is yet, but I want to pick something that I enjoy, you know, that I like and everything. So it's really tough because I want to find one that's on Tubi, and Tubi has a lot of great stuff, I'm not gonna lie.
They do.
They have Tubi, a lot of
my favorite.
They have a lot of great ones, but then they all have a lot of really bad ones too.
Yeah, so, they do.
You know, which is great for different shows. You know, like
yes.
I can watch those for What the Fuck Friday or one of the other ones that I do, but
yeah,
not for Horror Film Lovers. I just got to find the ones that, you know, that people love. 80s horror films has, obviously all 80s stuff, you know, and everything. So most of the time I try to not do any more 80s movies for any of the other ones because we're gonna run out of them at some point.
There's, you know, plenty of 80s movies though.
Yeah, and even and that
I like the real obvious ones. There's so many other obscure and good ones.
Yeah, I love doing that because we got Rebecca Reinhardt on that one, and
I love Rebecca.
She's I know awesome. You do, and I know you work with her on
SOB. You still love SOB.
That's a hard thing to say. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But yeah, SOBs that love SOV. Can you tell us a little bit about that podcast there?
Yeah, I mean, after I like had done Spirit Animal and I put up the trailer, Rebecca contacted me about being on the show. Tony Masiello, who runs SOV Horror, and if you didn't know about Tony and SOV Horror, go to sovhorror.com or whatever the website is.
Buy he's some awesome shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a lot of good shit, but he was like getting married, so they were looking for a replacement. So actually we were doing Video Violence. I got the shirt on right now, and I got to be on the show, and they just kept me on. And we always review shot on video movies. I'm a huge shot on video fan. So
it's funny because like back in the day when I was and I say back in the day, this is like just a little over like
2 years 15, ago.
It's like 15 years ago. So okay, I guess that is that's back in the day. Because but even though like I'm old enough where back in the day means I was in my 20s. That's sad, you know. Like
yeah.
But like, I was on MySpace. That's back in the day.
Oh, back in the day. Top friends. Who was your top friends? Oh, I'm just kidding.
No, it was probably my films or whatever that I was planning to make at one point or another or whatever, like Sasquatch vs. Yeti or Plan B from Outer Space, or
Plan B from Outer Space.
Yeah, which I'm still planning to make someday, but that would be like my last B movie. Like, I want that to be my ultimate B movie with all the, you know, whatever. So it will be something I plan to do. So I plan to do. Oh my god! Did not everything I'm saying? I did not plan that. I'm sorry. That's just terrible. I'm getting just as bad as like the joke, you know, the puns and stuff.
Oh yeah, never get sick of puns.
Oh no, I love them. As long as they're good. If they're like, I want to ask you a question, you know.
Okay, are you shitting on Jack Frost?
Well, no, because that.
I mean, I only asked you for a smoke, but still. You're not going to shit on Jack Frost.
Okay? No, because Jack Frost was like 96 that it got made.
It was 96.
So, yeah, it was 96 that it was made or put out. And you know what? I'll give that a slide because you know what? That was 96.
Wait, know? What was there was an axed in Thanksgiving reference. Axed.
Yeah, that was terrible, but. I'm pretty
sure. Oh, if you're going to talk shit on Thanksgiving,
I love Thanksgiving. I'm saying some of it was terrible. Like,
gobble gobble, motherfucker.
You can't. Well, gobble gobble, motherfuckers is probably one of the best lines. But I'm sad that they made that into the tagline because
Thanksgiving,
like,
not titsgiving.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's a great. I have not seen the sequel yet. We're planning to do that eventually for Indie Film Cafe.
Good luck.
We did the first one back in, it was really funny. So we switched me and Paul, and Paul, my co-host, did Thanksgiving in December, which is not the right time. And I did Santa Slays in November. And that was just like, it was just completely like we were talking later on about, oh man, we should have. We should have switched, you know,
because Santa Slay is so good.
Oh man, it was ridiculous. Fran Drescher in a horror film, you know, for like 2 seconds, but still.
Yeah.
Because that was like most ridiculous. They were like, let's put all the cast members that we could put on the cover on the poster, you know, into the first 10 minutes and then just kill them off, you know, like.
It was great.
Big names, you know, or whatever. I loved it. It was so bad and fun, you know.
That's all that matters, since that is fun.
Right. Because here's the thing. For Indie Film Cafe, we want to make sure people understand we like bad movies, you know. We're not all, man, this is bad, so we can't, you know. We just don't like boring bad movies or something, you know. Like, as long as you are entertaining and silly and you know what you're doing, or especially if you're Tommy Wiseau, you don't know what you're doing, you know, like, we love you even more. And speaking of Tommy Wiseau, there were some room lines in Spirit Animal, and I loved it. I mean, I was, because there's character Lisa, and I was like, oh, come on, you're not going to, yep, you did it. You went
and,
there.
Lisa, I mean, I didn't even name the character Lisa. Like, I mean, for that reason, I just came up with that line later.
Right.
I believe.
You're tearing me apart.
Maybe Joe and I did. I can't remember who came up with what anymore. A lot of it was improv, but I think it was in the original script. Like,
well, I'm hoping, because Tommy Wiseau is supposed to be putting out Big Shark.
Shark.
You know, and I'm hoping he says, you're tearing me apart, Shark.
My God, if they don't do that, they're missing out on a huge opportunity.
I know. Like, at least, because nobody's going to watch Big Shark for the, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's watching it because it's going to be a cinematic, beautiful, like, you know, movie or something. They're going to watch it because it's freaking Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero working together again on something goofy in a Big Shark movie, you know. You might be interested. I just got cast in a shark movie.
Whoa, give me the deets.
I will. I'll announce it right here, because I think by the time that this comes out, there should be, I mean, there already is, it's already announced that it's in it and everything. And I was sort of the reason it exists, but there's a movie being made right now called, the title's so ridiculous. It's like, Shark, You Son of a Bitch.
Oh shit. Yeah. I did hear about that. I think
so. John Johnson
campaign is there right now.
Yeah.
I gotta still get to it.
So what, you know, what happened was, John Johnson, the guy who did like the Plan 9 remake and,
Skeleton Key.
Yeah. Skeleton Key. So you're aware of John, John lives in Charlottesville, and Paul and I went up to watch a couple stinkers with him, you know, before up in his D house. And we interviewed him and stuff like that. And I'm like, we're close friends with him. So we were just like, you know, we showed him Snow Shark, and he was just like, you know, there's so many bad CGI sharks. What if there was a movie where that's all it was a bad CGI shark? And so, you know, like that was killing everybody, you know? And then we watched, there was a little movie that was coming out at the same time, because he had the idea of CGI shark, right?
Bad CGI sharks.
Exactly.
Which was so amazing.
Was it? So that was his idea. And he was like, damn it, somebody already beat me to the punch and did it, you know, because that was, it was a great idea. So he's like, you know what? Let's just have, like, you know, there's that line, you son of a bitch, that's in every fucking shark movie. You know, so why don't we make a whole movie of that, you know, with the bad CGI stuff, I guess. I don't know. It's a bad CGI shark, and it's gonna be amazing. I can't wait. I've already seen the preview thing that they should have. I'm sure you saw it, and it looks just,
I actually don't think I have. I still need to look that up, but yeah. I mean, I gotta give the money towards that campaign ASAP. So.
There you go. Give it. Johnny would be proud that I pitched Shark, You Son of a Bitch to you. But you're, you know, that's what you do. You watch shitty shark movies all the time.
I do, and I, you know, I have a podcast called The Shitty Shark Show, where we review shitty shark movies every other week. So I've been doing that as well.
Is there one that you haven't seen yet that's like the one that's gotten away from you so far, like one you can't wait to see?
Not that I can really think of, to be honest. I've seen most of them. There's one coming out from SRS called Jaws of the Shark, and it's like a shark with legs with a chainsaw. Really excited for that one, if you've heard of it. And SRS is usually pretty, they've been releasing a lot of shark movies lately. And they've
a little movie called House Shark.
Fucking love House Shark.
A lot of people fucking love that movie, you know.
It's so fun.
I adore Ron, so, and I'm sure you do too. So
Ron's awesome. He's actually from near my hometown in upstate New York. I used to always see him at Scarecon, which was nice. Near, like, I always say near Albany, but it was at Turning Stone in upstate New York. So I saw him there a few times. Like, always such a nice guy. I have nothing but nice things to say about Ron.
Oh, that's awesome. And
She Kills is like so fucking good.
I still haven't seen it yet, but
I love House Shark, but She Kills, yes, his best.
I'm actually, like, a guy that lived in Virginia that I was friends with actually worked on those, which is Michael Merchant. So I've been dying to watch, you know, his stuff, because just so much going on there. But, you know, just, it's hard because unless I'm reviewing it or something, it's hard for me to watch things, you know, like I have to, anyway, we're like, this show went off topic a lot, but I think we did cover a lot of you in this, you know.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't do that.
Oh, what do you think of Freaky Willy?
That is cute.
Yeah, his teeth are kind of fucked up, but so I wanted to give a little story about the Freaky Willy. I was looking everywhere online for an orca whale mask. Could not fucking find one anywhere, so I bought this frog mask, And Joe painted this. He made little teeth on them, which teeth are kind of fucked up, like I said. He painted it black and white like a whale. And things terrifying.
Yeah, I was a little more freaked out about that one than a lot of the other ones. A lot of the other ones were silly and fun, like.
Oh yeah, and I also have
the tiger
mask that he puts on Lisa near the end.
So, yeah. Oh, I forgot to ask you the biggest question: what would be your spirit animal?
Oh, a shark, obviously.
So that's what you pick?
Yeah, of course.
I was trying to think of what I would pick.
Yeah, what would you pick? Because you can only have one spirit animal. Not multiple, just one.
I'd probably pick a cheetah.
Learn, okay?
I'd probably pick a cheetah.
Cheetah, because they're fast.
Yeah, and not just because they're fast, because I like them. I just think they're cute. Yeah. And they're just nice. And just, they're like, you know, I mean, the fastness is awesome, because I would love to run really fast and not get tired, you know. That'd be awesome.
Of course.
But I don't know, I've always just liked cheetahs out of all like animals. But see, I'm like thinking, when you talk about spirit animals and stuff and things, people always think of like cats, you know, in some way. Jaguars, lions, tigers, you know, those, yeah. You know, whatever. But I mean, cheetah, I don't know. I feel like the cheetah doesn't get as much respect.
No, it doesn't.
And stuff. So I like the cheetahs. They've never made a cheetah horror film yet. You know, I don't think
yet.
So. Yet. I'm telling you, there are going to be movies at some point. We're going to look in like 20 more years, 30 more years or something. And there's just, because people are running out of ideas, you know?
Oh, they are.
And they got to like start going, okay, let's do a killer cheetah movie now. Let's do it.
Why not?
Right. I mean, I'm giving people ideas that's floating out in the ether. Somebody right now is going, you know what? I should write this, killer cheetah movie, you know, because it's out there in the ether. I don't know. But that's what, you know, that's what the world is right now. We're kind of low on ideas. So, yeah. You know, and
I mean, I think spirit animals are fairly original idea for what it was.
Is.
I think, like, just in general, the whole idea of like killing someone to have them come back as animals to save the earth.
Well, yeah, because
really cool idea. And I've always found reincarnation or like, you know, recycling people into like parts of the earth was a cool idea, so I really incorporated that.
Oh, exactly, with the tree especially and everything. And then
the tree actually wasn't even in there in the original script, so we started filming March 2019, and I was like, I wanted, you know, obviously it takes place in New Year's, we didn't talk about how it's a New Year's movie. So, obviously, with everyone's schedules and everything, it took forever to film. We didn't wrap till our world premiere was, March 13th, 2020, right before the world shut down.
Yep.
But, you know, we wrapped not long before that. So, it took a year to film. So, we decided to add global warming into the mix to explain why the trees were like growing back and it wasn't bare all the time, and right. Why it wasn't looking like winter and they were going to bumfuck West Virginia. So the tree came after, and actually I was showing Joe Killer Nerd, because that we were talking about a head explosion, and you've seen Killer Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the head explosion near the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the greatest head explosion of all time. Sorry, scanners. I showed Joe that, and I was like, this is when I want the head explosion to be. And like, whenever we were watching, it was like, what if Toby Radloff played the tree? So I messaged him. Toby was amazing. And he was like, oh yeah, sure. Why not? He sent me the voice clips and boom. So it was super cool. Everything just kind of came together. And like, a lot of this wasn't even part of the original script. And that's why I love Spirit and how it came together and how everything just kind of worked out. I think,
it's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's just luck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I would say it was a lot of luck.
It was a lot of luck or wasn't?
It was. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Just how those things came together. Because it could have been like just a basic run-of-your-mill slasher movie, like with some comedy and stuff, but like adding the tree and everything. And Joe made that tree out of cardboard and like, I think he put tobacco on it to make it look like bark. And again, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep praising Joe because he's incredible, but he did so much for it and it's incredible.
Well, that's good because, yeah. You know, a lot of people would just praise themselves, but you're out there praising.
Yeah.
You know, and that's wonderful because I think the great thing about the movie is just, it was fun. Like it wasn't that's
what I wanted,
you know, it's not boring at all. There's, cause like what I feel like happens throughout the movie is anytime that maybe, and this is what I think more people should do, honestly. And I think you handled it for this movie specifically well, was I think that more people should do a movie where, if it does feel like things are starting to slow down, kill somebody off or introduce a new character that gets killed off or yeah. something. And that's what happens. Like, I feel like once you get to know the characters, but once it starts getting to that, like, you know, kind of formulaic thing, all of a sudden somebody's out there getting murdered and then it moves on. Then, you know, you get back to whatever. Right.
And I wanted to keep the kills pretty consistent. And again, the cow scene wasn't in the original script either, but I was like, those were two friends I had from high school, Brandon and Brandon, from high school. So I filmed that in upstate New York. And I decided on that later because I was like, I'd love to have like a scene where a cow chops people up in the meat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, let me get my friends to do this. And originally I wanted, you know, my friend Brandon Kazar to be like a pervert, like spying on the neighbor. But he didn't want to do that. So, but it works out because it's funny. He's got binoculars. Then they're watching them for whatever reason. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, they don't even say why. They're just like, I think there's even that line like that they're like far away from the house. Like, what are they doing out here? Kind of thing. And I think that was what sort of was fun. Like, it just was silly and goofy and like. That's the thing with your writing too, is that, like, you know, you were saying that they had to write things to make explain things, and so I feel like sometimes you did that well enough where it was sort of jokey, you know, like, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can't really take the plot or anything seriously.
Not really, but like I still like the idea that a person like had all the spirit animals like.
Exactly.
Kind of and formed into one kid who now is an adult killing people.
And I mean, I wrote this movie with the idea of a trilogy in mind, and who knows if that'll ever happen. It probably won't, but I'd love it if it did, you know. I have so many other ideas too. But I did write this as just the beginning, but
just we'll the begin- I mean, hey, it I mean, spoilers ahead once again. I think this whole movie, this whole interview has been nothing but spoilers when it comes to the movie, but the end with the, you know, the hand coming out and everything, like, you know, it's not, you know, it's not over. And he even says, like, you can kill me, but, you know, I'll just come back, you know.
Exactly. And he says he's not the only one.
And he's not the only one.
Spoiler alert if we ever do a sequel.
Well, good. I hope you do a sequel.
Yeah.
Or at least continue. Once again, I think it'd be great to see you do continue with the Dingo Universe stuff.
Oh, Bathtub Shark Attack will continue.
Yes. Dingo. Yeah, the Dingo stuff, you know, like, I mean, that was just, that pizza made me hungry. I'm not going to lie.
So I've had so many people ask me where I got that pizza from. It looks so good. And I'm like, well, it's a frozen pizza from Giant Eagle. What the fuck?
It looked good. I would have ate it.
I added like extra toppings and cheeses to it, but you know, and I filmed that like one day, it wasn't Memorial Day or something. I was bored and I was like, oh, I'm going to make a Dingo pizza commercial. And I already had some footage. So I put it together and I put it on Memorial Day. So that was
I could hear your voice, by the way, like when I know your voice. So like when you were doing the voiceover, I was like, ah, there's Maddie right there.
There I am.
You know, which I think was great. I honestly had a serious blast just watching the movie. And so,
did you like Roxy Balboa? That's the dog at the end. We got to talk about Roxy a little bit. That is the lead actress, and I want to praise Jennifer Louise. She was amazing, who played Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give her a little praise. She got covered in so much blood, as you've seen in the movie. So much blood. Didn't complain. She was incredible. Always prepared. Just great. And her dog, Roxy, was the dog in the movie. And that ending, again, like, was Joe's idea. My ending was originally just supposed to be she killed the Rob and, you know, spoilers, whatever. we've covered that, spoilers. And she walked out, and then you were supposed to see like a bear, like a Rob came back as a bear and had glowing eyes. But Joe came up with that idea with the dog, and like we had the whole Carrie reference. So that, and the ending scene's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
It's great. It was fun. Like, I mean, obviously I knew, like, when I saw the grave and everything and her at there or whatever, I knew like something like this was going to happen because, you know, obviously I'm a Carrie fan as well. So
who is that?
Yeah. So I knew it. And, you know, Friday the 13th, like they wanted that Carrie scene. So they got the yep. scene or whatever where with Jason. So, I mean, obviously it's just kind of a staple now in horror films. So I'm kind of expecting it, but I thought he was going to kill her and not the dog.
Well, here's Roxy's head.
Oh, poor Roxy.
I know. So that's really cool. I mean, this was like a deer we got off of Amazon. I think Jenna so glued down its ears to look more like Roxy. So
aww. And
when I had like the bear glove on, Roxy almost like tried to bite me. Not that I blame her. I would do the same thing if a bear hand was trying to grab me. So, you know, so
well, that's and, cute.
Brutus, if we can aww. Give him a little screen time. And every time you see Brutus, you take some drinks.
Right. Yeah, definitely. There's the Brutus. There's like, well, every time you saw sharks, right?
You take drinks. But every time you see Brutus, you're supposed to take two drinks.
So. Okay.
There yeah, you go. So Brutus is in the movie quite a bit.
How long have you had Brutus?
Only like 3.5 years or something, but he looks like he's been through a lot.
Well, it's funny.
Some stuffing.
The necro shark looks a little like Brutus, you know. The for the opening production company stuff, was that your like Brutus?
Not really. I contacted someone to make me a logo, and that's what they gave me.
Oh, just happened to look okay. Well, that's awesome. It
just happened to look alike.
I don't know if they've seen your stuff, so maybe they saw Brutus.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. But that's wonderful. I'm so glad that I got to see Spirit Animal. And
I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah, I loved
it. And enjoyed it. And the movie is also in Smell-O-Vision on DVD.
Oh, nice. Which
you may have heard about because there's 6 different smells.
I did not hear about that.
Yeah, hold on. Oh my god, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm looking for one of the cards. I got them all around. I mean, I have copies of the damn movie all around. Are you going to edit this out?
Probably.
Okay, that's good. Give me a second. I apologize. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, the DVD. And we have their Smell-O-Vision cards.
Nice.
So there are 6 different smells.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And also the a Dingo pizza menu comes with the DVD as well.
The Smell-O-Vision, was that Nerds? Didn't the Nerds do something like that? The Revenge of the Nerds, they did something like that, I think.
Too. I don't know. I mostly got that from John Waters and if you've ever seen a movie Popcorn.
Oh,
with Jill Solon.
I did not.
Although that wasn't like scratch and sniff, but that was like really what got me into movie gimmicks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm surprised William Castle didn't get you into movie gimmicks too, but
well, William Castle too, but
you know, yeah, he's the he's the first one, you know.
Exactly.
I think he's the first one. I might be wrong, but you know. Well, thank you so much. This is awesome. I really had a blast, you know, with the show. So thank you so much. Is there anything you want to like let people know you're doing or let people know what you're
Planning on filming Bathtub Shark Attack later this year, which is going to be in Splashovision, which is a real thing, another gimmick. So get ready because you'll be able to enjoy that in your own home or in the theater.
Nice. Oh, in the theater. That'd be cool. You know, I would love to see Bathtub Shark Attack in the theater.
Who wants it? That's what's bringing your biggest irrational childhood fear to life, hopefully. Some people's. What I'm told is a lot of people's irrational childhood fear.
Now, I'm surprised you're not doing Toilet Bowl Shark Attack.
Oh, well, actually, Sean Donahue, you know, director of Death Squirt Service, he was going to do Toilet Shark, but it didn't get funded.
Oh,
unfortunately.
So you're like, let me do Bathtub Shark then.
I actually had this idea. This is kind of funny. I had the idea for a Bathtub Shark Attack before I wrote Spirit Animal. So I wrote Bathtub Shark Attack as like a 20-25 minute short film. My actors dropped out and I was like, fuck it, let's just make a feature because that's easier than making a short.
Yeah.
Let's make a longer movie. And then we came back to Bathtub and we were like, let's make it happen, but let's make it a feature this time.
Yeah. So. There's so many. That's just how it works with independent films. You decide to do a short, but then you're like, let's make it into a feature.
Exactly. So I actually did take some ideas from like Bathtubs into Spirit Animal, but they're kind of going to be part of the same universe. So
good. Which
I think is cool.
Dingo, put the dingo in there. The dingo,
always dingo. Oh,
yeah, that's amazing. I can't wait to see it. There you go. There's the dingo. All right. Well, thank you so much, Madeline. This has been awesome.
Oh yeah, always a pleasure chatting with you.
Definitely. So stick around. I'm going to chat with you after. But everybody else, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys have any questions or comments, please let Madeline know. I'll probably send a link to your Facebook so that people who want to purchase a DVD can, or maybe an email address might be better, I guess, right? They can just
email. Either one.
So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'll also check out indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, sickflickproductions.com, and patreon.com/indiefilmcafe if you want to donate a buck to help us out. We really, really appreciate it. And you get stuff for it. So thank you guys so much and have a good one. Bye.
Bye.